That was a great picture. I've always heard they say the camera adds 10 pounds. I should have asked how many cameras they were using. I try to dress so, they say black is slimming. So when I was getting my outfit ready my wife said, is that what you're wearing? I said, yeah, they say black slimming. She said, you have anything blacker? She didn't really say that. That's funny, but she didn't say it. Thank you. I have for several years had known. I'm going to tell you this right up front. My wife is an English teacher. You're about to hear the worst grammar you've ever heard. So just go along with it. She'll look at me. Don't look at her. Just keep looking up here because she'll let you know when I mess up. Hi, Levy. I was just kidding. That's my wife, Michelle. Hello. She likes when I, yeah, wonderful. And, you've already done all this. So and the kids, I'll get going. I forgot what I was saying. Oh, Pastor Kent, man, wonderful pastor. Just have really enjoyed knowing him. I pastored for 10 years in Kansas City, as he said, and we were able to just interact at different times. I've always just had a great respect for him. And then spending time with him as a presbyter and then a week in Haiti. If you want to get to know your pastor, just spend a week with him in a third world country. Or in an airport in New York. I'm sure he didn't share this or there was not a picture of this last week. I do have one and it's probably on my Facebook page. We had a long layover in New York. We got to New York about 12:30 in the morning on our first night. And, we didn't have anywhere to stay and there was no place to check in. So we just kind of sat around and we were just going to spend the night in the hospital. We should have been, in the airport. And I'm leading this trip and I don't know if I'm thinking I'm leading a youth trip or what, but, I'm grown. I'm too old to sleep in the airport because there's nowhere to sleep. So you have your feet up. One of our guys, Brian Parker, took two of the benches and laid them on the ground together so he could lay on them. But somebody's pastor. I'm going to be nice. Somebody's pastor sleeps very well on a floor. I don't know if he had one of those little inflatable pillows or if he took his jacket. But he laid on that floor. I'm talking LaGuardia, New York airport. A few kabillion people have walked on this floor. He's face down, sleeping. I mean, it's like a subway going through there. And the rest of us just watched. No, several of us were able to sleep. And it was a great trip. And pray for the country of Haiti. They need a visitation from the Lord in a bad way. Pray for the missionaries. The missionaries we worked with, James and Rachel Quarter, phenomenal missionaries doing an incredible job. So just continue to pray for Haiti. I hesitate to tell him this story because I tell him this every time I see him. Can I tell? I can tell it. Thank you. About 1999 or so, maybe early 2000s, I was pastoring in Kansas City, and I brought a group of guys to the men's overnight for our men's retreat at Wheat State Camp in Wichita. And our church, God was just good to us. We had a lot of unchurched people. So we brought a bunch of just guys that were newly saved with us, and they didn't know a lot of things about church. And it comes worship time, and we're standing up worshiping, and I'm not paying attention to what they're doing. I'm just worshiping God. And this buddy of mine, who actually I grew up with, and he leaned over to me and he said, "Hey, is that Billy Joel playing the piano?" Ladies and gentlemen, Billy Joel. So every time I see him, like three or four times a year, I have to tell him that story because I think it's just the funniest thing, because I never made the connection until this buddy of mine told me. Has anybody else ever made that connection? Okay, good. Now every time he sits there at the piano, you don't know if it's going to be Blessed Assurance or the Piano Man. I don't even know if that's one of his songs. I don't know his ways. Okay, I really have a message. Today is Memorial Day, and hey, maybe real quick, obviously the brother in the military uniform today, bless you. And how many people do we have here that have served, men or women that have served in the armed forces? Hey, amen. Can I have them stand? Would you guys stand? Look at this. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. You guys, heroes. On Veterans Day, I was putting on my Facebook, just listing all the family members I've had that have served in the armed forces. And, you know, throughout the generation, the years, the centuries of our country, men and women have given their life. So what we do on a daily basis, we have the freedom to do. And I just don't mean spiritual things. I mean life. We get to live because they were willing to sacrifice. So bless you guys. Bless our men and women in the armed forces. Today is Memorial Day. And I want to kind of talk about it. Memorial Day was made very special to me when I was a kid, because every year I would go with my grandparents, my grandmother, still living, is 101 years old. Yeah, she's amazing. Yesterday when we came up, we stopped. She fell on Monday of this week and broke some ribs, and she was in the hospital and went to a rehab center and went back to the hospital. So we went to visit her yesterday, and we get there, and she's sound asleep. I mean, I'm talking New York sleeping on the floor, airport sleep. Head back, mouth open, grandma's going to town. And so we set, I mean, like 3 hours, she's out. So we're visiting with my aunts and uncle, and I said, well, I need to go. We need to drive to Topeka tonight. As soon as I say that, boom, wide awake. Just awake and alert. Oh, what are you doing? And so we stayed for quite a bit longer and was able to visit. But every year, her and my grandfather would, they have flowers that they grew in their backyard, and I don't know what, petunias, pansies, peonies, thank you. And the beautiful flowers smell wonderful, covered with ants. But my grandfather would go out every Memorial Day morning, and he would cut them. And he'd put them in 5-gallon buckets. And my grandmother and my grandfather and I, they would take me to the cemeteries to put flowers on the graveside of our past loved ones. And I don't know, something about watching your grandfather kneel at the grave of his father or his grandfather. And legacy and heritage, and it's I'm very thankful. I'm thankful that I had that as a child, because paying respect and paying honor to where honor's due is quickly falling by the wayside. And we need to learn to appreciate and respect those that have gone before us. That will help us as we live our lives. But this morning, I'm going to kind of talk about Memorial Day, but I'm going to kind of do it in a weird way, maybe. I'm going to talk about death. I'm going to talk about the door of death, but we'll get to life. So if you have your Bible, turn to John chapter 11. John is go to the middle of the Bible, and man, you're right there. Well, there's Matthew, Mark, and a couple other guys, but if you go right to the Bible, turn right there, John chapter 11. And I'm going to talk about Lazarus. Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha, and we're going to see how maybe Jesus made a special Memorial Day, if we could say that. Have you ever noticed how Americans avoid the subject of death? We don't really want to talk about it. We don't want to address it. I mean, we have creams to make us look younger. You can go and, you know, get some work done and make yourself look younger. And I mean, there's just things that you can do, because we don't want to admit death happens. My aunt had called me earlier this week. She said, hey, when you come to town, you know, I think you need to talk to your grandma that if she's 101, she's just now aging. She's just now not as sharp as she's always been. And she said she's afraid to die. My cousin, who's in works in the medical area, said, you know, I've never seen someone her age that afraid of death. And so I'm talking to her yesterday, and she said, well, what's everybody going to do when I'm gone? Who's going to take care of everybody? Grandma, you're 101. You've done a pretty good job. But we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to address it. We live as though we'll never die. But the thing is, death is so real for every one of us. But death, as Christians, should be viewed as a completely, entirely different thing. To live as Christ, but to die as gain. You know, Paul tells us that. And it should be different. Now, I'm not excited. I'm young. I'm a lot younger than I look. I just grayed early. Much younger than I look. at least mid to late, almost not quite really, I mean, I'm ready to go to heaven. I mean, I'm ready to meet Jesus. You know, what a day that will be when my Jesus I will see when I look upon his face. Amen. And there's some other words. I always know the first part. I never get to the end of them, though. Thank you. Would you like to come, Brother Billy? Okay. Afterwards. I'm excited. I mean, I want to go to heaven. I want to see Jesus. I'm not so sure I want to go right now. I mean, is that bad of me to say? I mean, I want to go. I want to walk. I almost said walk on water. I want to walk on streets of gold. I mean, mansion and Jesus and all those other guys. But think about, okay, am I really ready to go right now? Spiritually, I think I am. I mean, I prayed before I came up. You know, I went through the routine. And I feel good. I feel good about myself. But there's a lot going on. I mean, I have young kids. There's a lot to life. But something about death to Christians needs to be different. Christianity without the resurrection isn't Christianity. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead so we might live. In his book by J.B. Hardy called Countdown, he says this about the resurrection. There are but two essential requirements. Has anyone cheated death and proved it? And is it available to me? Here's the thing about Christianity and death. Every other religious leader is still in their tomb. Any religious leader of any religious organization beyond Christianity is still there. But now you can go to Israel and you can tour the tomb where they laid Jesus and you can look in and guess what? He ain't there. He's not. So when we look at death, we need to realize that the one that is over us, that is in charge of us, that is in charge of everything, defeated death, hell, and the grave. And there's something awesome about the resurrection story, and we don't talk about it very much. When Peter went running in, and you know, John and Peter, and they were racing, and Peter won, and he pushed John out of the way, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, and John hurt himself so Peter could look first. Peter looks in, and it says he saw the grave clothes lying there. But then he said he saw the headscarf, or the handkerchief, or the napkin folded and lying there beside. And I thought, you know, and that's in there. It's in the Bible. I mean, some, I can't tell you what page it's on, but it's in there. And I was reading and I'm studying that. And what Jesus did was follow a Jewish custom. I mean, when God said, okay, Jesus, you know, he was raised from the dead. I mean, the stone was gone. He's coming out. It's a big deal. But he stopped and folded the napkin. I mean, the headscarf, what, why? If I die and come back to life, I'm not going to make my bed when I get up. I'm just not. I'm pretty good at making it now, but I'm not making it. If I come back from the dead, I'm not making my bed. I'm just going to make that clear. But Jewish custom was, or probably still is, if you invite me over to dinner at your house, and we're Jewish, and we eat, if I drop my napkin on the plate when I'm done, it means, thank you, that was good, but I'm not coming back. That's the custom. Thank you for the meal, I'm done. But if after the meal, I fold my napkin and I lay it beside my plate, it means, thank you, I enjoyed that, I'll be back. When Jesus Christ came out of the grave, he took a moment, folded the napkin, put it beside his plate, and said, I'm coming back. So as born-again believers in Christ Jesus, we need to realize that Jesus is coming back. We do not have to fear death, hell, and the grave because he already conquered it, and all we have to do is wait for Jesus to come. And so many times we're looking for a sign of the time. Friends, I think it's time we stop looking for a sign and start listening for a sound. Because at the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and those that are left shall go and meet them in the air. Can you hear me now? When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks, eternal, bright, and fair, and the saved on earth shall gather over on the other shore, when the roll is caught up yonder. Man, that should energize us. That should excite us to live our life to the fullest now. Because after this life, it just gets better. But now there's these people in the Bible. Mary and Martha. They're friends of Jesus. They've been friends with Jesus. Jesus has been to their house. Their brother Lazarus, that's his buddy. They used to hang out together when Jesus was in town. Hey, Jesus, why don't you come over? We'll have some food. You know, we'll watch a little TV. We'll just kind of hang out, play some games. Maybe we'll play some Uno or some Phase 10. If you got about 6 hours, we'll play some Monopoly. So these are just not acquaintances of Jesus. These are come to my house, hang out, friends of Jesus. Well, in Matthew, not Matthew, because we wouldn't want to go there because the story's not there. So we'll go to John. I think even with a bookmark, I could find it. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Now, it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sister sent to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. That would be Lazarus. When Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he had heard he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. You sure you really want to go there again? Isn't it awesome that Jesus was willing to take a risk for a friend? Isn't it amazing that he knew that if he went there, the disciples said, hey, Jesus, remember those are the people that were in the rocks? Remember they were throwing rocks at us and hitting us in the head? They're probably going to do it again. He said, all right. He said, I don't sweat them. Let's go. So Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go and I may wake him up. Then the disciples go on, and they're kind of bantering back and forth with Jesus. They said, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about the taking rest in his sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I will not be there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Okay, so here's where we are. Mary and Martha, their brother, their friends. Lazarus is sick. Lazarus is dying. By the end of the story, Lazarus is dead. They're in one place. Jesus gets word of Lazarus' sickness. He said, oh man, my buddy's sick. Okay, I can take care of it. All right, okay. But you know what? I'm going to stay here for 2 more days. So the disciples are like, oh, okay, he's just sick. But Jesus said, no, he's dead. I mean, he's dead. He's not sick. He's dead. But I'm still going to do something here first. You ever think about the conversation Jesus has with his disciples? I mean, you read it and you read it over it, and I still sometimes have a hard time grasping what he's saying. He's saying, okay, he's sick. Well, he's really dead, so we should go. I'm not going to go. I'm going to stay here. But Jesus, do you not care? Have we ever thought that when Jesus doesn't respond to a situation or a prayer fast enough for us? Okay, God, I've been praying. I've been praying in the Holy Spirit. I've been reading my Bible. I've had people anoint me. I've had all these things done that I'm supposed to have done. And God, I don't see anything. You're not moving quick enough. His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. That he doesn't have to move when we think he should move. All I need to do is have him move. He's God. He created all of this. All I need is for him to come and be God in my life. Come and be all that he can be. So many times we try to limit God. In Psalm 78, it's a retelling of the children of Israel coming out of the wilderness and coming out of slavery. And in Psalm 78, it's a long chapter, but in about, starting about verse 12, about the next 10 or 12 verses, there's a phrase in verse 78, in chapter 78, it says this. It says, for they limited the Holy One of Israel. And you think, what? They limited God? But it goes on to say, but by their complaining and their murmuring and their whining and their, God, you're not doing stuff fast enough. And God, you did it like this. And I really wanted you to do it like that. God, you didn't do it in the right color. God, I didn't think that's the way you should have done. I sent you some notes. I emailed you. I had a layout. I had a 5-year plan. And it says, because of all of that, they limited the Holy One of Israel. Guys, God has no limit. There is not one thing that God cannot do. There is not one sickness he cannot heal. My grandmother that's here today has beat cancer 4 times, is on her way to victory for the 5th right now. Amen. There is no sickness that God can't take care of. There's no financial problem that he can't overcome. You have no bill that's greater than what God is. There's no family situation that he can't come in and put together. But sometimes we're kind of like the disciples. Are you sure you want to go there, Jesus? Don't you know he's dead, Jesus? Or is he sick, Jesus? I don't think you did that right, Jesus. Shouldn't you went right now, Jesus? 2 days, what are you going to do, Jesus? I don't get it. I mean, we bug him to death. We're like 4-year-olds. Sorry, 4-year-olds. No offense. Even when Jesus explains to them that Lazarus will be raised from the dead, they think in the terms of now. Or they don't think in the terms of now, they think of only the future. Yet Jesus is the life. He is the resurrection power. Notice that in the gospel, every funeral Jesus went to wasn't a funeral by the time he left. D.L. Moody was young, he was called upon to do a last-minute funeral. The person that was supposed to do it wasn't able to do it, so they called him and he went to do it. He said, I studied the scriptures over and over and over again, and he said, I couldn't find one funeral that Jesus performed. Because he's the power over death. In Haiti, we were setting up for a kids' club, and this woman comes carrying this baby, and we're just setting up, we're doing different things, and the missionary's wife, Rachel, walks by carrying this baby and says, pray, this baby isn't breathing. So we just begin to pray. And I'm talking praying like I've never prayed before. And we're praying, and this probably 10 minutes goes by maybe, and James or somebody came out and got me, and I went in, and this baby's just laying there. And Rachel says, It's been too long. We need a miracle from God. And I pray, and I'm praying every scripture I can pray. And I'm saying, Jesus, you are the power over death, hell, and the grave. And I'm praying, and I'm trusting God, and we're praying by faith. And she said, I don't know what to do. I'll keep giving CPR. And I looked out in the hall, and another one of our team members were there. So I brought him in, and we're praying. And nothing. I mean, the newborn baby born the day before didn't live. I don't get it. The Bible says if you believe by faith, you lay hands on the sick, they'll be well. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection. And we're going to read in a minute where he tells Martha, I'm the resurrection and the life. I don't sweat it. I'm not Jesus. I'm not even close to being Jesus. But man, I believe in him. I believe in him whether I see it or not. I believe in him whether it happens or not. After Jesus' resurrection, he walks through a door. And his disciples are in there. And Thomas, doubting Thomas, we like to call him. He said, oh, Thomas, you've had some questions. Go ahead and put your hand in my side. He said, I'm good. No, go ahead, Tom. Tommy, just slide it right in there. I'm good. I believe. Hasn't he done enough in our lives for us just to believe? Hasn't he showed up just enough for us to believe? Hasn't he healed you enough just to believe? Hasn't he brought you through the last turmoil in your life just to keep believing a little bit more? See, sometimes it's hard. I mean, these disciples, They've seen Jesus. I mean, they were there outside the door when that little girl was sick, and the wailers were there, and the mom and dad were crying, and Jesus gets there. And I love it. It's one of my favorite phrases in the Bible. He walks in the room. He says, "Leave me in death alone." And then he prays. Oh, thank God that we get to pray. And he says this, one of my other favorite things in the Bible. He said, "All power in heaven on earth come upon me now." You think about that. All power in heaven and earth come upon me now. This is Jesus, the Son of the God. The Son of the God. It's like saying the Walmarts. It's the Son of God. Oh, man, wouldn't you have liked to have seen that? Can you imagine like a superhero Marvel comic? He stands there like this, and like lightning, and all this. And he says to this little girl in some language, I mean, I can't even understand it in English half the time, but he says to this little girl, he says, "Get up." He says, she's not dead, she's asleep. He said, "Little girl, get up." See, I think Jesus is here today. And I think before we even showed up, he said, "Leave me in death alone." And then while we were worshiping, he said, "All power in heaven on earth come upon me now." And he's ready to look at you lying in your deathbed, or he's ready to look at you in your bad situation or your bad relationship, or he's ready to look at you even if you don't know him as his Lord and Savior and say, "Death, leave him alone. You're not dead, but you're just asleep. And it's time that you wake up to the power and the resurrection of Jesus Christ." What a day other than Memorial Day for you to start your life with Jesus Christ. Or to cross over that threshold. Some of you have been serving God. You've been pressing on. You've been pressing on. I believe that today you're standing at a threshold. And if you'll just believe by faith and take a step over that threshold, God's going to do something great in your life. How many of you believe that he'll do it? Oh, he will. He will. He'll do it. So as we go on in our story. So Jesus, in verse 17, found out he was already in the tomb. Then verse 20, the Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask God, God will give to you." Sometimes I'm a little passive aggressive. Like I told them that on the missions team that I was leading, I said, "You'll hear me say a lot of things that sound like suggestions. They're really not." I think it just goes over easier. "Hey, man, it sure be great if you maybe wouldn't mind going ahead and picking up that pile of blocks and moving it over there. I mean, if you want." Really what I mean is, "Hey, get those over there now." But it just sounds better when you say it nicely, doesn't it? No, I'm all right. So anyway, and really, Jesus is coming to town. He's walking to town. He's got his friends. I don't know what they're talking about. They're probably not talking. Wouldn't you be afraid to just have a little chit-chat while Jesus is around? "Hey, man, did you watch the Bulls game the other night?" "Yeah." Then Jesus looked back at you. "Whew, man, it sure is hot in here. I don't know why we can't ride a donkey like he got to." I mean, I think it'd be I'm not a very quiet person, but I think I'd be very quiet. Maybe sometimes we should be a little bit more quieter than we are. More quieter. That was a bad one. I knew that one. More quiet. So anyway, back to the story. So Jesus is walking. He's about halfway to town. Martha comes running out. I'm not sure how Martha ran. Probably like this. So he gets there. She gets there. And just in passing says, "Well, you know, if he would have been here, he wouldn't have died. But hey, you know, whatever, you know, whatever you say to God, I know he'll do. Whatever, you know." I mean, I read that, that's kind of like what we call in our house, that's sassy talk. I mean, pretty much Martha sassed Jesus. Now, I might be paraphrasing, I might be wrong, you know, I'm not getting my doctorate like Reverend Dr. Bishop Ken Duncan here. I mean, you know, PhD, GED, I mean, it's about the same. But she said, "Jesus, if you'd have been here, my brother would have lived." "Or, Jesus, you know, if you would have been here, my brother would have lived." Whatever. How are we in our prayer time to Jesus? How do we talk to Jesus? Because Jesus and I had a little talk after that situation in Haiti. Because I didn't get it. In my mind, this was going to be one of those missionary stories that I'd travel the country around and tell, that I'd write books about. I mean, I wasn't thinking all of that now. This was how I'm thinking of this now. I wasn't thinking of it then. I mean, I really was praying. But I don't know why it didn't happen. So Jesus and I, we had a little conversation about it. And Martha's like, if you would have been here, my brother would have lived. So he says to her in verse 23, your brother will rise again. Jesus was just a cool cat. I mean, Martha, I'm sure physically upset with her brother being dead and Jesus. He said, your brother will rise again. Okay. You know, maybe faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God or the word of Jesus really is what we need. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus spoke it, it's going to happen. Now, they didn't get it at that time, but that's what happened. Some of you are sitting here this morning, and you have a promise deep down inside of you that Jesus spoke into your heart, and you're still waiting for it to happen. If he said it, it'll happen. If he said he's going to do something, he will do it. Martha said, I know he will rise again in the resurrection. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Girl, how many times am I going to tell you? That Martha. We all give Mary the credit. That Martha was sassy. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Yes. It still applies today. Amen. You see, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was dead, but now I'm alive. I mean, Martha runs out there to Jesus. She probably didn't sass Jesus. I mean, she knew who he was. She ran to Jesus in desperation. She ran to him. She fell at his feet. She said, I need you, Jesus. Oh, she said, my brother, he needs you. I thought you'd come earlier, but man, you're here, and that's all. That's what we need. That's all you need is Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. So she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, blah, blah, blah. I mean, she didn't say, and he's coming into the world. And when she said, that's awful. When she said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. Ooh, you're going to be in trouble. And as soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and she came to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place that Martha met him. Then the Jews were with him and in the house comforting her. When they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, they followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I mean, they're just saying, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour, Jesus. Oh, I need thee. My brother, he's dead. He needed you. If you would have just been here. He's here. Some of you had that conversation with Jesus today. Jesus, if you'd have just yesterday, today, last week. Jesus, if you'd have just been here. Oh, friends, he's here. He's here. He's here right now. And Jesus is speaking to us. He speaks to us, you know that, right? You see, I got up this morning, and I talked to Jesus, and he talked back. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. So Martha runs out, I needed you, Jesus. Mary runs out, I needed you, Jesus. So Jesus goes to the town, they're pushing, they're trying to go. And then let me skip down. In verse 39, Jesus said, take the stone away. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time he is going to be stinky, for he's been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? How many of you are ready to see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me because of the people who are standing by. I said this and that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died, or he who is dead, came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. Jesus is standing at the opening of your tomb today, and he's calling your name. He is calling you by name. If you would listen. See, the things that we need in life to go forward with God is three things. We need eyes to see what he's doing, ears to hear how to do it, and a heart to be obedient. If you have those things today, he's calling your name. Lazarus, come forth. Person with sickness, come forth. Person that needs God to show up in a big way in your family, come forth. God, those that don't even know Jesus but have found him today and God has spoke to you, he's saying, come forth. And now when you come forth out of your situation and when you get up out of your seat and Jesus looks at you this morning, he sees those grave clothes. He sees death. He smells the stench of the world. Let me tell, look at your neighbor and say, you stinky. You don't have to do that. It's Sunday morning. Don't do that. But you're coming out in your grave clothes. Grave clothes represent death. Lazarus wasn't dead anymore. So Jesus said, he called on the name of he that was dead, if you read the Bible, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And then he said, take the grave clothes on him, because went off of him. When I called his name, he no longer was dead, but he was alive again. So they took the grave clothes off, they took the headscarf off, they got the stink off of him, they got the death of the world off of him, they got the death of sickness, the death of depression, the death of anger, the death of just plain old meanness, they got that off of him, he came back alive, and he came up out of that grave, walking around, probably looking and waving at everybody and saying, how you doing? Look at me. That's what he wants to do in your life today. He's going to call you by name. And maybe the praise team, go ahead and come up. I'm sorry, Pastor Ken, I'm trying. Because he's calling somebody's name today. And some of you are holding on to your seat as tight as you can. Because that's not going to be you. When Jesus called Lazarus' name, Lazarus, come forth. He's like, somebody call my name? Jesus didn't call his name again. I'll tell you what, I'll call my kids' names about two times. Then it's on. Not really. That sounds good for the story. Anyway, he calls his name. Lazarus didn't hesitate. He didn't get up and make sure he looked right. He didn't call his prayer chain to make sure it was okay if he came back from the dead. He didn't check Facebook. Probably didn't Twitter on his way out. Hey, just quick tweet. Hey, did you hear about the guy that owns Facebook, whatever that kabillionaire guy is? He's buying Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Gonna call it U-Twit-Face. But anyway, so Lazarus is alive. He didn't walk around the tomb for 4 or 5 more minutes to make sure he wanted to come out. Jesus called his name and he came out. Today you stop walking around the death, the stink, and the grave, and you let Jesus call your name, and today you come out. How many of you are ready for that? I say, how many of you are ready for that? Come on, let's stand to our feet. Lane, whatever you got, buddy, let's go. Because today's the day. Today's the day. Today's the memorial day for you in your life. Today's he calling your name. So as he's been calling your name, as he's been talking to you this morning, I'm not going to count. I'm not going to say, come now. But during this song, step out of your grave and come on. Today's your day. Today's your day. Whatever it is, we're going to pray for you. We're going to trust God for you. We won't embarrass you. We won't point you out. You don't even have to tell me what you're praying for. You come up here and begin to have a conversation with God. You just tell Him. Now, you just tell Him. This is a place of worship. This is a place of healing. This altar is a place of hope. So you just begin to lift your hands. You begin to open your voice. And you say, God, this is what I'm coming out of. I'm coming out of drugs this morning. I'm coming out of alcohol this morning. I'm coming out of sin this morning. I'm coming out of death this morning. I'm taking them grave clothes off. I ain't going to smell funky anymore. So I'm going to come around. Pastor Ken will come around. And we're going to lay hands on you. And we're going to pray for you. Now, if there's something specific you want prayer for, let us know. But all I'm going to do is I'm going to pray this. I'm going to lay hands on you. And I'm going to say, Father, your will, your way. That's it. Why? Because that's all you need. He's calling your name one time. One time. Today. I mean, he'll call it again. As me right now, he's calling your name. This isn't it. He'll still talk to you. But I believe today's special. Right now, at this time, today's special. Father, in the name of Jesus, according to the written word of God, through the power of the blood of the cross, Father, we believe that just by walking forward, people are leaving the grave behind today.